Hello and welcome to my podcast. I am your host, Volker Balüder. I have been recording this podcast to give you a listening experience for your personal development. Having had mentors and coaches, trusted advisors and friends to bounce ideas off, I wanted to pay my learning forward. Enjoy the conversations I have with my mentors and hopefully you learn something on the way and discover something new for yourself. For more information and latest info what I'm up to, you can visit me on www.balüder.com or just look me up on LinkedIn. You can reach out to me on Twitter, which is @Balüder, or email me, Volker@Balüder.com. Now, without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Enjoy the experience. In today's episode, I welcome Stephanie Schaffner. So as the name probably suggests, she is a fellow German and she's living in the same town I used to study many, many moons ago. So it's a small world and we met randomly actually, if you like, so through a couple of joint connections. And Stephanie looks back at a career working for international companies such as Lufthansa and big software companies, mainly in the area of sales and business development. However, she became a certified trainer for stress management and a coach for burnout prevention. So the regular listener probably already noticed the theme here of me having guests that look at, you know, looking at stress, talking about burnout. So we had a couple of guests around that topic in the last few weeks and months. So I guess this day and age, especially again, we recording this actually at the time of COVID-19 still. So during the lockdown, although Germany is slowly coming out of the lockdown, UK is still a little bit behind. I think we need to look more and more at our mental health, and you know, we probably have a lot to talk about stress and stress management. So Stephanie is focusing is focused to work on site with her clients, unless of course she can't at the moment. So I'm curious how she manages that at the moment. And teams to manage stress in a healthy way, to transform negative stress into positive stress, to reach high performance. And I'm very curious about that topic, particularly around positive stress. So I have some opinions on that as well. But first of all, Stephanie, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you for that warm welcome, Volker. Nice to be here. And I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you. So we already talked a little bit just before we went live. Obviously, we talked in German, which is, to say, still my mother tongue after 20 years in the UK. So it's always nice to have a fellow German on the podcast. I had a few. Always a bit weird to talk in English, but that's fine. Stephanie, should we start maybe with a short intro from yourself? I mean, I already touched on a few points, but I think it would be great if you could just, you know, tell the listeners, who you are, what you're up to, and then we take it from there.
Yes, of course. Sure. As you said, I worked many years in the business, and I lead a department of sales and had to develop a sales department in Germany. And I traveled a lot. You know that you travel to the customer, to workshops, to conferences, and got lots of appointments. And I was totally stressed up in these times. And I saw lots of colleagues struggling under permanent stress and lots of colleagues running into burnout in that time. And in Germany, burnout is a great topic. Nearly 13 million people suffer under burnout.
Wow.
And that's the official numbers of the health insurance. And it's really impressive numbers. And I worked 14 years in the business, and it doesn't fulfill me. It was no fulfillment in the end. And I thought I have to choose a job which is which gives people something back. And that was the point, because I choose to run my education as a certified burnout coach.
Right. So did you suffer from a burnout as well, or did you just see colleagues suffering?
I think when I look back at these times, I was near at a burnout. I never had a burnout, But I know, I remember this special moment when I was in Düsseldorf on a conference, and I woke up in the morning and I had no clue and idea in which city I was on this day. It was very, very stressy weeks. And on this special morning, I woke up and didn't know in which country, in which town I am. And this was the moment I decided I have to change my life. I have to live more healthy, more stressless. I have to overthink anything. And I think it was near a burnout. And I stopped and changed a lot of things and and overthink my appointments and lived healthier and
Interesting. I mean, probably if I say maybe a stupid question, or maybe not, because I always say there's no stupid questions. But if you say you're a burnout coach, what does a burnout coach actually do?
We work preventive. I have the education for a burnout prevention, and we want to change the stages. There exist 12 stages after Freudenberger and North to a burnout, and we want to change the behavior and want to prevent before you run into a really burnout. In stage 12, burnout is life increasing and you end up in hospital. And it's really underestimated that a burnout, some people think burnout is just from the mental side, but it's really a physical side. It's a biochemical process in your body, and it's life increasing in stage 12.
So when you say stage 12, so there are 12 different stages, or how many stages are there?
Yes, 12 different stages. It starts in stage 1. You have a new job, you are on fire, you love what you do. And this could be the first stage to a burnout. In stage 3, I don't go to all of these stages, but on the main stages, for example, in stage 3, you forget little things, maybe an appointment, or you begin to make mistakes in your daily routine. And this is burnout stage 3. And it goes up to stage 7, where you are socially distancing, and you are you have fights with your partner, with your wife or your husband, and you go back from the social, and this is stage 7, and you deny that you have a problem. And in stage 7, it's possible to work with a certified burnout coach and to change the path. And after stage 7, it's really difficult to change anything in your behavior and in your thoughts. And in stage 12, you end up in hospital.
Wow.
And you can't go out of bed and all these things you know from the public area or something like that.
Yeah. That's interesting. So I have to admit, so I had a few guests before about burnout, and including people that wrote books on burnout, people that talk about their burnout. So Sean Betts a couple of weeks ago. And I've never, and if I say, I always like to say, I can say that being a fellow German, no one ever has categorized it that nicely. And I think, you know, I think we Germans are really good in categorizing things. So I like that, actually, because putting it in, as if I say stage 1 to 12, it's almost like you can identify with some of them. I mean, some of the stuff you just mentioned, you know, I'd almost say, you know, a few years ago, I would have been at stage, between stage 3 and 7 for sure. I don't know if I was quite at stage 7, but I wouldn't have classified it as burnout, or, you know, on my way to burnout. I would have said, oh, it's just, if I say it's just stress, it's just normal working life, it's just that you feel a little bit overwhelmed. Has the awareness of of burnout changed over the years?
I think in Germany, it's slowly the awareness goes up and the companies realize that it's an enormous cost factor. And it's the second highest point of sick leave. And it costs the companies 16 billions per year in Germany,
yeah.
Direct sick costs because of stress and of a physical illness. The German companies change slowly her leadership culture and her mindset. And they recognize that just a healthy employee is innovative and efficient. And I think it's a slowly change process.
Yeah. I mean, it's very important. I mean, as most people would know, I'm teaching mindfulness for the workplace as well, for, if I say exactly the same reason, stress reduction. If I say I'm not, you know, I'm not focusing on burnout or burnout symptoms, but of course, if I say it goes in a similar line, you know, if I say it's about compassionate leadership, it's about, you know, being able to realize when there is stress, when you're feeling overwhelmed, and if I say have a little toolkit to be able to, you know, if I say take a step back and, you know, if I say release stress and, you know, not feeling overwhelmed, and that's, if I say, what I'm focusing on. But I like this, if I say specialism, I mean, you also are a stress coach. Does that go hand in hand, or is that two different areas you're focusing on?
It goes hand in hand, but these are two educations.
Okay.
Two different educations, but it's hand in hand. As a stress management trainer, you give the client strategies and methods to prevent stress and to work and live healthy. And you have additional educations as a burnout coach, but it's hand in hand.
Mm. So what would you suggest to reduce stress in the workplace? What's the number one?
To reduce stress in the workplace, we have to be honest. And honest to ourselves and honest to our leaders and team leaders and so on. And we have to say, stop, it's too much. I can't do it. And that's the first thing. Most people can't say no. And that's the first step. Be honest to yourself and tell yourself and your team leader, it's too much. That's one of the main steps. And the greatest point in reduce the stress is to overthink your thoughts. You can use stress is just not negative. We have the distress and the eustress, and how we look at the things. We can change our stress level, and if we use it as a positive thing, we can reach high performance. And you can see the example from the athlete who runs his 100 meters or something like that, or 500 meters, and he's full of adrenaline and he reaches high performance. And if how you look at the things, you can change it from the negative into the positive. You asked for a few tips for the workplace. You can close your office door maybe for 2 hours today and to focus on working concentrated. Or you can go for a walk in the lunchtime. You can have mindful meetings. You can also sit down and breathe meditation in the beginning of the meeting for 5 minutes, and it's It's really amazing how concentrated the meeting members are after this this little 5 minute session. You calm down and you be concentrated and you are in the here and now, and it changes a lot for many members in the meetings.
I mean, I would second that. I mean, obviously, as a mindfulness trainer, it's just being there in the moment and getting everyone together definitely helps. Now, there are a couple of questions I have. I think I start with one, because you said close your office door and you actually get some work done. Now, that's an interesting one, because if I say our tendency, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on that, our tendencies are to have open plan, right? To foster collaboration, for people to work together. Is that actually counterproductive in terms of stress?
If you are stressed up, you are not productive anymore. And I think it's important that you get back focused. And I'm a fan of agile work, and I work as with the Scrum framework in the past, and I also do agile work in my sales department. But in the case if you are stressed up, it's not productive, all is open and all it's collaboration and something like that, then you have to set your hours, and you have to just 1 hour, 1 hour if it's possible, for you, and to focus on you and your work and to be concentrated. And then you are really, really productive. And then you get back to lower your cortisol down. And if you are just in this agile case and just in this open collaboration and this, I think you can't be focused totally. And if you have just 1 hour for you and for your work, I think it's productive.
Yeah. I mean, so what do you think, that open plan is not really productive working?
Not just that hard line.
Okay.
I think you can be productive, but I think it's a mixture.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously with the whole COVID-19, and that's where I'm kind of leading a bit, I think our new normal, and if I say as we're coming out of lockdown, or Germany's, if I say properly coming out of lockdown already, we have to rethink how we work, right? I don't know if it's going to be feasible for people to sit apart 2 meters in the workplace or not. And I kind of, having seen different offices, I always prefer to, if I say, have my own office, but having an open door policy. But, to your point, I was able to just shut the door, get some work done, or make these important phone calls, and don't have the feeling that if I say someone's listening in, or, people might come up and disturb you. So you get, you get like kind of like a little bit of your own time back in the office. Now, with COVID-19, I think a lot of us will start working from home more regularly, which again gives you more uninterrupted time and makes you more productive. So I think that will change. But the question is, will open plan even be a thing in 2 or 3 years' time, given COVID, given the stress level? And if I say the combination of the two, does it actually make sense for us to have open plan offices, or should we all go back to, if I say, almost single cubicles?
No. I think it's a mixture. I think we will travel less than in the past.
Yeah.
I think in Germany the home office thing is in many companies. They don't want you to work in the home office all the time.
Yeah.
But I think, besides COVID-19, if I work in the home office, I work very productive. Now we have the kids in homeschooling, is not very productive.
Yeah.
It's because we have to switch our work times and something like that. But I think besides COVID-19, we are productive in the home office. And it's I think the mixture is really great. We have on-site days in the office to have our meetings and have special workshops or something like that, or customer appointments, and to get things done is a home office day. I think it's a good thing to work concentrated, because I thought back on my time as a sales department leader. Every 3 minutes, Stephanie, can I have you for just 1 minute? I have just one mm-hmm. question, and you are interrupted. And Stephanie, what's your opinion to this and that? And you know that people knock on your door, and you come to it's 5 in the evening, and you have nothing ended, and it's you think your time is stolen.
Yep. I guess it's always a challenge as a manager, right? To balance the support you want to give your team versus actually getting any work done, right?
Yeah.
Which I guess is why, you know, from a certain seniority, you almost need an own office to be able to shut the door and yes. actually shut people out.
Apologies to interrupt your listening experience. I hope you're enjoying it so far. I just wanted to make you aware that my online course for coaching, where you can discover your values, mission and purpose in life, is now live on bebetter.baluda.com. Any sign up or recommendation for others to sign up is greatly appreciated. Now back to our episode.
The other thing you mentioned earlier, sorry if I'm jumping back a bit, is positive stress. And the reason I want to discuss that, as I said in the intro, I have my own opinion. Because I used to be of the opinion that there is such a thing as positive stress, thinking, you know, stress is almost good for me, right? It gives me energy. It you know, maybe even coming back to your stage one, I believe, where you said, you know, you love what you do, you know, whether it's a new job or not, but you know, you're energetic, so there's stress and it's positive. And if I say I you know, at a certain point in my career, I actually enjoyed it. But then you mentioned the athlete as well, and I understand how an athlete has, if I say, you know, positive experience from stress and putting their bodies through stress, right? So I've run a marathon myself. I run a few half marathons now since lockdown on my treadmill. But it still puts strain and stress on your body, right? Is that really good for us? Is it really a positive stress we're talking about here? Or does it still have the same impact as negative stress?
The impact is the same. But okay. in this positive example you mentioned, you lower your cortisol down. And if it comes to negative stress, I have my cortisol don't lower us down, and it's like a curve. And in COVID-19, we are talking about flatten the curve, and yeah. in the cortisol context, it's not positive to flatten the curve, because these high peaks with cortisol as an athlete is positive, and it's flatten fast. And if you go into the negative phase, it's flattened low. And this is the negative point. And it's got a huge impact of your body and of your veins and of your cardiovascular system.
Okay. So you're saying positive stress it's almost good for the body.
Yeah.
Whilst negative stress isn't.
Because you come after this positive stress, you come in a deep relaxation phase, and that's important for your body.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Because I didn't know that. That's why, you know, I did a little bit asked a bit, because, you know, you still, you know, if I say once you run, you know, let's say a half marathon, you're still obviously exhausted. Yes, you have, you know, the happy hormones, you know, and you feel great for having done it. But you know, if I say the impact on the body is still there, right? The stress on the body is there. You still feel, you know, like you have a cold coming a couple of days later, right? So you're more prone to infection. And so if I say from a physical point of view, it still seems to be, you know, similar result. But it's interesting what you're saying about the cortisol level, because that means, it's almost it's not, it's getting away faster, which means it has a less impact on your cardiovascular system.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. See, this is why you studied all that stuff. I find that very, very fascinating.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and the education was a wow effect. It was really, really, really interesting.
So what are you doing at the moment? Is there a demand for what you're doing? Because you mentioned COVID, and I think it is important to speak about it, because if I say I'm feeling more stressed because, you know, you already mentioned, right, we have the kids to school, we have, we have our work to get on with, some of us, you know, were furloughed or lost their jobs, people are looking for jobs, obviously that companies are not recruiting, we might have loved ones that are in self-isolation, you know, obviously our parents' generation, we worry about them. There's so much to be stressed out about, you know, if I say you might not have the income you had before, that, you know, you still have to pay your mortgage, you know, if I say life goes on one part and doesn't stop, whilst obviously in other parts, you know, it's completely changing. So all that causes stress and anxiety, of course, as well. Do you think, how do I best phrase this question? I'm thinking, what impact does it have? I mean, how stressful is this environment? If I say that's the first question, maybe. The second question is, what are companies doing? Are companies still employing you now to combat that? Because my argument would be, now is the time to give those trainings to the employees, because now is the time for them to actually, if I say almost, they're at their peak stress level, being able to change the perception of stress, manage their stress, so when they come out of lockdown and back into whatever we call normal in the future, they are more resilient.
Yeah, I agree, totally agree.
Yeah. It's your sales pitch, isn't it? But
special situation stresses the people really. In the beginning of the lockdown, I had really, really different perspectives in my Zoom direct coachings with clients. The single person who is isolated and near a depression, and also the leader who is in homeschooling and home office, who struggles under this situation, and the people are stressed if the crisis starts, the people are stressed. Really, the stress level is really high. And now in week 8 in the lockdown in Germany, they begin to realize that's the new normal, and they are also stressed up, but different. In the beginning, they are really scared and didn't know how it will all work, and how to get the kids in the homeschooling and how to work parallel and so on. And now in week 8, they are bored about the lockdown, and they just want to go out and want to meet their friends and go to the office and something like that. But if you go through this crisis and after that, your resilience will grow. With every negative situation, you grow, and that's. I think it's a good point for us, but for the kids, I have no clue how the kids will be in the future. I think it's had a really, really deep impact on our kids. They will always remember on this crisis.
Yes, that's actually a very good point. say, I hope you couldn't hear it in the recording, but I just heard my youngest actually stressing out about something in the background. So luckily my wife is there to deal with it. But we have seen the impact on our own children.
Yeah.
And it is a very good point. How will it affect us? I mean, we as humans, we are quite resilient, I believe. And, I personally have gone through, a few redundancies. And I do believe what you just said. It makes you more resilient. I haven't gone through that. But how will the children, and how will the children at different ages react to it?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, older children, from what I hear, teenage children, I don't have teenage children. If I say bored, they want to see their friends, they feel maybe isolated, they might stress about exams. Really young children might not actually realize it at all. But our children, I realize they're, one is, if I say, very much in terms of, missing his friends at school, what's the other one, he's older, he has a phone, he can communicate, he's better in that sense. But it's still, if I say, we're all struggling, we're all sitting in the same boat struggling. I actually wrote a blog post about that as well. But what do you think? How will that affect the children?
I think they will be more uncertain. I think this generation will... is this social distancing in this age is really difficult, I think, because there are single children without Geschwister.
Yeah, without the siblings, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they are struggling much more than our kids with a sister or a brother.
Yeah.
And I think they will set back in the socializing, in the social behavior, and in all this stuff, because schooling in this age is to be friends and to be kind and teach all these social things. It's the basic human basics you learn in a group, and I think there will be more setbacks in this part, in this area.
So I wonder if I say years to come, we will talk about, if I say, the generation COVID. Maybe I should trademark that. Sounds terrible. Because we already, and again, I haven't followed the German press, but I mean, in the UK, we're already talking about that will be an event similar to the war that we will remember. And of course, the war lasted a lot longer and obviously had different scars on Germany than it did to the UK. Whilst COVID is, if I say, maybe a shorter event, but potentially I don't want to say more intense, differently intense, but it's a global thing.
Yeah.
So it must have a huge impact. If I say, not only how we're going to behave moving forward, but also how we cope with that. And that's an interesting point you mentioned there about the social distancing of the children and not being able to socialize.
They also compared it in the Second World War. There exists no social distancing. The experts mentioned that yes, a war is really a cruel thing, and it's the hardest thing you can imagine. But in COVID-19, this social distancing to your parents or to your grandmother and all this stuff is harder because the people during the Second World War could go out and the restaurants are open, and they're also got to a dance or to listen to music and to drink a wine with his friends and so on. And this isn't possible at this time. And That's the greatest point why people are suffering under this situation, because you can't go to your grandmother, or you can't go to your mother and or your father if he's in this critical groups.
Yeah.
And I think the social point is the greatest point.
It's almost crazy, right? Because what someone said the other day on a podcast, that we're actually not social distancing, we're actually physical distancing, right? With the 2 meter distance.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which I absolutely loved. But to your point just now, I'm thinking, yes, it's the physical distancing, but the social distancing, you know, despite Zoom, you don't have the physical contact. I mean, everyone now starts Zoom calls so they can actually, and I'm sure you would be aware of that, you know, that they can see faces, they can see how people react, right? Something you don't get in a phone call, right? Just a normal audio phone call. And that gives people something, you know, and the first thing they do is going back to their families, right? Because family is still where you feel the safest. So I bet that most people, as soon as the lockdown started, would have done a call with their family just to make sure the family is fine, right? Because you're going back to basics, you're going back to where it all started. Because that's where you feel fine, right? That's where you feel protected.
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe if I say it's a final question around that, and I know you don't have the answers, I don't have the answers, I'm just curious, because you're the expert on the topic. How will the new normal be different in terms of, you know, and whatever new normal is, different in terms of us experiencing stress and burnout? Will we see more burnout, more stress, less?
Experts say we have not the peak of the burnout. This will be in the 20 years of our century, and it will go higher and higher. And there's much to do for me and our colleagues. And I think the new normal and COVID-19 has also positive sides, because people focus more on the basics. We go back to basic, and for me, I overthink my travel behavior and my business travel behavior. Do I really have to travel 200 kilometers for just a meeting? No, I don't have to do so. We can do Zoom calls for basic meetings and for difficult workshops. Okay, that's not, no question. But I think with this new situation, we overthink our behavior in the past. And for me, I will change a few things in the future.
Yeah. It's interesting what you're saying in terms of the burnout still peaking, because that's scary, right? If you're talking 13 million, even if we're talking 20 million, right? That's a quarter of the German population.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, that's huge.
Yeah.
Stephanie, coming to an end, what would be one piece of advice you would give the listeners, if I say in these difficult times, around about stress, around about burnout? What's the one thing?
Listen carefully to your behavior and have an eye on your beloved ones and your colleagues, because sometimes they run and give their best and don't even know that they're running into a burnout or something like that, or have an unhealthy stress management. And if you are aware of that and take care of each other and of yourself, then you can prevent really, really huge things. And the permanent stress burn has a really impact on your body and your well-being, and it should not be underestimated.
Brilliant. Thank you. If anyone wants to find out more about you and what you do, where's the best place to get in contact with you?
Oh, the best place would be LinkedIn, because LinkedIn. I'm always on LinkedIn, or you can visit my website on www.destressmanagerin.com, okay, or on Instagram and Facebook.
Perfect. Then I put all that in the show notes as well. And thank you so much for taking the time. I found that, FSA, not very stressful, but very enlightening. So I couldn't think of anything better just now to finish it. But it's I found that very insightful. That was brilliant. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Volker, for this deep conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to this week's podcast episode. Just a few things before you go. If you like this podcast, please leave me a 5-star rating on the outlet you're listening to. It's easily done and would mean a lot to me. For any feedback, please reach out to me on www.baluda.com or email me, volker@baluda.com. Until next time, this is your host, Volker Baluda.